Tonight, if you will turn to the Proverbs and the 15th division, I'll read verses 26 through 33. And tonight's word is a very familiar word. It is the word prayer. Recent weeks, we have touched on singular words from the book of Proverbs, and tonight I've chosen the word prayer. Over the past many years of ministry, and the thousands upon thousands of people that I have had the privilege of coming into contact with, I have never met a member of a Baptist church that did not at least understand that we ought to pray. But there is an assumption that cannot be made. Simply because you have heard sermons on prayer and sung songs about prayer, and had lessons taught to you concerning prayer, it doesn't mean that you are a prayer warrior. So let me ask you a question tonight before I read the passage. What you know about prayer, what you know, not beside or behind or in front, what you know about prayer, did you learn it from a song? Or a sermon, or a lesson, or did you learn it by praying? That's the question. Because churches are filled with people who have heard lessons and sermons and songs about prayer, and maybe even attended conferences and revivals that magnified prayer. But what you know about prayer tonight, did you learn that through prayer? Prayer is the best teacher about prayer. And the more we pray, the more we know how to pray. And simply because we are aware of the concept does not mean that we wrestle in prayer, asking and seeking and knocking until the answer comes. Here's what the Proverbs say. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. And whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. If you examine the scriptures, you learn that Old Testament prayer and New Testament prayer was somewhat different. Both aimed at Almighty God. The source of the answer to every prayer is Almighty God. But something miraculous took place in the New Testament that changed the way that we pray. When Jesus was raised from the grave and the veil in the tent was rent from top to bottom, it opened up a brand new way for us to come boldly into the presence of God in and through the name of Jesus Christ. so that when one comes to study the New Testament, he finds in the Gospels an example of prayer, Jesus and the life he lived and the ministry that he had. When he comes to the book of Acts and the epistles and the final books of the Bible, he not only sees an example of prayer, he discovers the centrality of prayer. For every true work of God and move of God, every miracle of God came to pass after prayer. Acts says, "And when they had prayed, the Spirit came. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together." Throughout the New Testament, we're admonished to pray without ceasing and told that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. The Bible makes much of prayer. It makes much more of prayer than the average church does. For we get so busy in our doing, we forget to stop and take time to be anointed to do what needs to be done. So let me give you the three thoughts that you have on your handout and just a few comments about each one of them. First, think with me about the privilege of prayer. Verse 29 is packed with inspiration and information, the privilege of prayer. He hears the prayer of the righteous. In that place, righteous is not meant to characterize the one who prays. It is meant to state that the one who hears the prayer has made the one who prays righteous. Now, let me say that again. This is not meant to point a bragging finger at the one who prays. This is meant to declare that God has made the believer in Christ righteous, and as a result of the righteousness of Christ, we can come boldly to the throne of God and let our request be made known. You are not righteous because you pray. You are righteous because Christ redeemed you by the blood of the everlasting covenant and invited you to come boldly into his presence and pray and let your request be made known. So mark in your Bibles, or at least remember in your minds, that the prayer of the righteous is not so much about who I am as it is the one who hears my prayer has qualified me to pray by making me righteous through Jesus Christ the Lord. I often hear things, and this may not fit your theology, but as I sometimes smile and say, you have a right to be wrong if you want to be. I smiled. People tell me, no, I'm not a Christian, but I remember praying one time and God answered my prayer. Listen very closely. There is but one prayer that an unbeliever can pray, and that is the prayer of repentance, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Those who can pray are those who have been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. But what about an unbeliever praying? One never knows who else has prayed. One never knows about a grandmother, a grandfather, a son or a daughter, a friend at work. One never knows whose prayer God is really honoring and answering. And one really never knows how the sovereign God works in spite of us at times, not necessarily because of us. But please know this for certain tonight. The qualification to pray is to trust in Jesus as a personal Savior. Commit your life to him, make him Lord over all, and then hear his invitation, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Come boldly to the throne of God and let your request be made known. So there is a divine relationship involved in this privilege to pray. There is also a divine responsiveness. "As I pray," it simply says, he hears the prayer of the righteous. The Lord hears. The word really in the original Hebrew is he attends to the prayer of the righteous. Do you know what an attendant is? In a wedding, an attendant is one who comes alongside and stands up for and represents. When Jesus comes alongside of us, it's the fulfillment of Romans chapter 8, when Paul says in Romans, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But now listen, but the Spirit makes intercession with groanings that we do not know how to utter. You and I don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. But with a broken heart and a sincere desire to come into the presence of God, the Spirit attends our prayer. The Spirit comes and takes our prayer. And if I could paraphrase it this way, perhaps the Spirit often says to the Father, I heard what he said, but this is what he meant. I heard what he said, but this is what he needs. His heart is broken, and he does not know how to articulate what really needs to happen. But Father, here's his heart. Read it. Here's his mind. Read it. His words are not so important as the broken heart of repentance that now comes before you. Here, Father, attend to his prayer. The Father hears, but the word really means he hears in such a way that he becomes an attendant, that he comes to help us say what needs to be said in a way that it needs to be said. Count that tonight as a privilege. Stop for a moment Wednesday evening, tired after a day's work. Right there where you are, just say, oh Lord, I just thank you for the privilege of prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. We just sung about it. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Don't you dare make prayer a fire hydrant that you only need when your life's on fire. Don't you dare make prayer a spare tire that you only want to put on when you've had a flat with the rest of your life. You make prayer a priority because it is a privilege. The second thing that I want to share with you tonight is the practice of prayer. The Lord is far from the wicked. It doesn't mean God has left. It means the wicked is far from the Lord. How do you draw near to the Lord? You pray. The Lord is removed from the wicked, but the prayer warrior draws nigh to God. So if for some reason tonight you feel distant from God, I have just pointed out the pathway home. Did you hear me? If for some reason tonight you don't feel as near to God as you once did or as you should be, I've just pointed out the pathway home. The wicked is a great distance from God, but the one who prays, God hears. And you hear when someone draws near. The practice of prayers. Some prayers, I want you to listen to all three of what I'm about to say. Number one, some prayers come with assurance. Luke 11, 9 says, ask and it will be given. Ask and it will be given. Pastor, can you tell me what kind of prayer I can pray where I am absolutely sure God will answer my prayer? I can tell you that. I can tell you a prayer you can pray where God will absolutely, without reservation or hesitation, answer your prayer. Oh Lord, forgive my sin. Hallelujah, he hears and answers. Oh Lord, help me to understand your word. Oh Lord, show me your will. Oh Lord, Make me aware of your purpose. Here's the key. You pray the word of God back to God, and you can be sure God will answer your prayer. You pray the word of God back to God. He that winneth souls is wise. Oh God, give me a burden for lost souls. You pray the word of God back to God, and God will answer your prayers. Ask, and it shall be given. Lord, tear down this stronghold. Lord, deliver me from this issue, this problem. Lord, help me to develop the right attitude. Lord, give me some integrity and dignity and character. You pray what God has commanded you to do. You pray what God has asked you to be back to God, and you'll have the assurance that God hears and answers the prayers of the righteous. So some prayers come with assurance. Now follow me. Some prayers come with persistence. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Asking is simple. I just stand, I just kneel, I just lie down, I just sit down and I ask. But God says there are some prayers that come with persistence. Seek. You've got to look for the answer. You say, well, I really want to know the complete will of God. You ask and He'll begin to reveal, but you seek and you'll find. It's a persistence in your prayer life. Countless times in the Bible, there are people who have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. There are two sides to this coin. The one is there are times when you pray and God gives you an answer. And listen to me, you can stop praying right then and get to work. Don't keep praying like the best 2 out of 3. Well, I prayed and this is what He led me to do, but if I'll keep praying, maybe He'll change His mind. Won't happen. There are times when you pray and God gives you an answer, you can stop praying and get busy doing what He told you to do. There are other times when you pray and His answer is keep praying. Why would He do that? To teach us to pray. To teach us patience. To show us that tribulation works patience. To show us that good things don't always come instantly. To show us that they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. They mount up with wings of eagles. They walk. They don't get weary. They fly. God has a purpose not in saying no, denial, but in saying wait and see what good thing I will do. So while some prayers come with assurance, you pray it, He answers. Others come with persistence. I have met people who have said to me, I prayed for that boy 20 years and he finally got saved. I'm telling you, I was in a real revival effort scores of years ago, when on a Friday night, after 3 or 4 nights of not much, much came along. And God broke into that little country church. And I will never forget, as one teenage boy started to the altar, a woman in the back shouting in such a way that I knew immediately it was authentic and genuine. She was doing business with Jesus. She said, I have prayed for his salvation since my daughter told me she was going to have a baby 17 or 18 years ago. There's some grandparents in this church that have prayed for their grandchildren since they found out they were on the way. There's some people here who you've prayed for your children. There's some people here who've prayed for your friends. There are some younger people here who have prayed for your parents. Sometimes it takes time, but be persistent in your prayers. Now, I just want to give you this. We're serving a sovereign God. Your persistence is not breaking His will down. Your persistence is not bargaining with Him or badgering Him till He finally gives in. If you don't already know this, I'm just going to put it in simple language. God's going to do what God's going to do because He's God. But if you want in on what God's going to do, you be a prayer warrior and you be persistent in your prayers. All prayer. Now, I want you to follow me here. There are prayers that come with assurance, and there's prayers that come with persistence. All prayers come with resistance. The devil hates genuine prayer. I don't think he cares for you coming to church. He can use you here just as well as he can use you anywhere. You can come here and be a gossip, and he can use you right here. You can come here and be indifferent and full of apathy and unconcern, and he can use you mightily in this place. You can come here and be self-centered, critical, and judgmental, and he's got you right where he wants you. I don't think the devil cares for you to come to church, but I'll tell you what he does not want you to do: come boldly to the throne of grace. He hates to see a Christian broken and repentant and on his knees crying out to Almighty God. There's going to be resistance when you pray. There may not be much resistance in coming. There may not be much resistance in singing. And you may be able to listen without much resistance. But when you get serious and begin to tackle the demons of hell and take on the forces of the devil and cry out to God, there will be resistance. Satan hates a prayer warrior. The practice of prayer comes with assurance. It comes with persistence. But you'd better know, it comes with resistance. Satan opposes those who pray. And then the third thing that I wanted to share was just a little bit about, the power of prayer. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Verse 33, the fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. There are four things I'll just quickly mention. I could spend a series on this. We could stay the remaining part of the evening and talk about this. But let me just put these four things in your mind about the power of prayer. Number one, real Bible praying brings into play the sovereignty of Almighty God. I meant what I said. You may not have understood it, but I'll say it again. God is God, and God is going to do what God is going to do. My prayer does not talk God into or out of anything. He's a sovereign God. My prayer is not about me getting my way in heaven. It is about God getting his way on earth. My prayer does not change God. My prayer changes me. It conforms me. It transforms me. It brings me into the presence of the master planner of the universe. I get to see what he's up to. I get to know what he's thinking. I get to envision what his plan is. I get to buy into his vision. I get to get a hold of his purpose. When I pray, even if I'm resisted, but I pray persistently, I bring into play the sovereignty of Almighty God. Number two, when I pray, I can bind the influence of the evil one. What's bound in heaven is bound on earth, we are told when we come into the presence of the Lord, where two or three are together and they pray. I literally can stop the devil in his tracks. I can bind the demons of hell. You say, are you that powerful? Oh, no, not me. But by the authority of Almighty God, I can stand and command that God is God, and beside him there's none else, and that the sovereign God of glory in me is more powerful and greater than anything that can come against me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We don't need to turn our families over to the devil. We don't need to do nothing and let our children be influenced by demonic things. We need to cry out to Almighty God. And you say, well, if I go to that much trouble, will it do any good? Why, yes, it will do good. Yes, it will do good. God hears the prayers of the righteous. And we bring into play the sovereign God of glory, who defeats and binds in every area of our lives the very influence of the evil one. Number three, the power of prayer will break the chains of strongholds. We don't talk about strongholds much. Let me just kind of give you a couple of thoughts here. Strongholds come in all shapes and sizes and colors. What's a stronghold for you might not be for me. And what is a gravely difficult issue for me might not bother you in the least bit. I could give you illustration after illustration, but suffice it to let me put it this way. My temptations in life are probably not your temptations in life. And what tempts you may not be a temptation to me. But Satan knows. And Satan builds a stronghold. And a stronghold is a place where he can hide and remain quiet until you get to that area where you're about to give in, fall down, and fail. And at that express moment, he can come from his secret stronghold in your life and push you over the edge. And if you don't know that satanic strongholds are realities in almost all of our lives, oh, I thought I was the only one. Not at all. It's not a man or a woman in this room tonight that does not have a weakness in your life where Satan can come and cause you to falter and fail. Here's a little secret. Sometimes it's not your weakest place. Sometimes it's your strongest place. He better not attack me where I'm strong. Okay, Simon Peter, listen for just a minute. Simon Peter whacked off the ear of the Roman soldier that was trying to arrest Jesus. There was a whole group of soldiers there, and one man with a sword said, I'm going to defend the Lord. Simon Peter was the one man who said, Lord, if that's really you, let me walk to you on the water. And while all the others tremble in the boat, Simon Peter stepped out and began to walk on the water. We're not talking about a coward. We're talking about a very brave man who often spoke up and who always stood firm. And then a little bitty maiden walked up to him at Caiaphas' house and said, aren't you the one with the Nazarene? And he cursed and swore that he did not know Jesus of Nazareth. The very strength that Peter had, standing up and speaking up, was right where Satan trapped him and tricked him because he got proud of who he was. How do you know he was proud? Lord, I will never forsake you. These other guys, I can't speak for them, but you can count on me. I'll die first. And a little bitty maiden said, aren't you the one who was with the Nazarene? And he cursed and swore that he did not know who Jesus Christ is. If you get proud of your strength, it can become a stronghold. If you neglect your weakness, it can become a stronghold. You will say, well, Pastor, where am I safe? In the arms of Jesus. And that's it. Don't you dare think you're safe in the energy of the flesh. You rest in the arms of Jesus, and your weakness and your strength will be hidden in Christ Jesus the Lord. You can break the chains of strongholds. And then finally, the fourth thing that I wanted to give you, you bring into play the sovereignty of God, you bind the influence of the evil one, you break the chains of strongholds, and you build up your most holy faith. Do you know how you increase your faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bible study and prayer is how faith rises up in you. It's how you become somebody who says, I don't just think I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will promise you, if you think you can, if you hope you can, but you're not sure you can, you can't. But when you stand and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, you can. It will build up your most holy faith. I like the acronym FAITH. Forsaking all, I take him. FAITH. Forsaking all, I take him. Lay it down before him. Lay yourself down before him, and it'll build up your most holy faith. Well, the Lord's far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. What do you know about prayer? How did you learn what you know about prayer? A lesson, a sermon, a song, somebody else's testimony? Or do you know about prayer because you pray? Please remember the verse. The Lord hears the prayer of the righteous. It does not say the Lord hears the prayer of one who's been taught about prayer, who's sung about prayer, who's heard a sermon about prayer, who's had a conversation about prayer. It says the Lord hears the prayer of the righteous, the one who prays. That's who the Lord hears. So our invitation tonight is just going to be very simple. Of course, if you've never trusted Jesus, I began the sermon by saying you only have one prayer. Oh God, forgive me, cleanse me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Take my life as I surrender it to you and be Lord and Master over all. That's your prayer if you've never trusted Christ. But if you're here tonight, you're a Christian, and you know that your prayer life is not what it ought to be and it's not where it ought to be, I just want to ask you during these moments of invitation tonight if you would commit yourself to this one prayer. Lord, teach me to pray, and then give me the desire to pray. Would you just pray that prayer tonight? Lord, I struggle. I struggle with praying. But Lord, would you teach me how to pray? And then would you give me a passion and a burning desire to pray? Could that be your part of this service? Could that be how you end your part of the service? Lord, tonight, would you just teach me what it means to pray, what the privilege of prayer is, what the power of prayer can do. Would you just remind me of that, and would you just grow in me this burning passion and desire to come before you in boldness and let my request be made known. Realizing that some prayers are going to be easily answered when I pray the scripture. Some prayers I'm going to have to keep on praying until you see I mean business. All prayers are going to be resisted because the devil hates a man or woman who prays. But Lord, I'm willing to risk it all. Teach me to pray and give me that burning desire to do that. Let's stand together. Mike and I'll be here. If we can help you in any way, we'll do so.